Welcome, scholars, to September 10th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do this show is for the military. If you've ever served in the military, or if you're serving now, thank you for your service. I assembled this podcast in a tool shed in my backyard, right next to beautiful San Diego. If you're looking to move to this area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because, as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check out the website, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com, and then give her a call. Area code 619-507-4906. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, all right. Very nice. And now on to today's program. Andrew Jackson shuts down the Second Bank of the U.S. We'll wish a happy birthday to Waldo Seaman. He invented vinyl. JFK gets conflicting reports on the status of Vietnam, and Miracle Mike the Chicken survives decapitation. So scholars, let's turn our pages to 1833. Andy Jackson shuts down the Second Bank of the United States. This was known as the Bank War, and Old Hickory, who by the way served as president from 1829 to 1837, had already warned his vice president, Martin Van Buren, quote, "The bank is trying to kill me, Mr. Van Buren, but I will kill it," unquote. And that he did. President Andrew Jackson was a true frontiersman, and he had a major beef with the banking system, which he felt was making the industrial and commercial rich in the North even richer, and ignoring the agricultural people of the South. Getting Old Hickory Jackson to work with the banks was kind of like trying to pee and sneeze at the same time. Just wasn't working. Back in 1791, George Washington and Treasurer Alexander Hamilton created the first bank of the U.S., and its charter was due to expire in 1836. King Andrew I, as National Republicans called Andy Jackson, also had a personal problem with the banking system, causing his financial misfortune, mainly in land speculation and worthless banknotes. Now, on the other hand of all this, Kentucky and Massachusetts Senators Henry Clay and Daniel Webster worked with Bank President Nicholas Biddle to make rechartering the bank a referendum on the legitimacy of the institution in the presidential election of 1832. Jackson argued the bank was unconstitutional. Congress disagreed and voted to recharter it. Old Hickory vetoed the recharter, despite the fact that he knew that he would lose votes in the bank's home of Pennsylvania. During the election, the bank was the main focus point between Jackson and his opponent, Henry Clay. Jackson successfully argued the incompatibility between hard money and paper money sections and scored an overwhelming victory in the election. Not to be outdone, Biddle promised to continue the fight, saying, quote, "Just because Jackson has scalped Indians and imprisoned judges does not mean he is to have his way with a bank," unquote. On September 10th, 1833, Jackson quickly removed all federal deposits in the bank. Well, that's one way to balance the budget. Just zero the whole damn thing out. That's awesome. The Whig Party emerged to oppose the Jacksonians. Biddle continued the economic warfare, but its charter officially expired in 1836. Jackson won the bank war. 1898. Happy birthday, Waldo Seaman from Alabama. He basically invented vinyl. 1963, JFK gets opposing views on Vietnam. Major General Victor Krulak, a highly decorated officer who saw combat missions in World War II as well as Korea and Vietnam, now Special Assistant for Counterinsurgency and Special Activities to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Senior Foreign Service Officer Joseph Mendenhall, had completely opposite opinions on the stability of government in Vietnam and the progress of the war. Brutes Krulak said that progress in the war against the Kong was going great. However, Mendenhall said the Kim regime in Saigon was near collapse and lacking popular support in South Vietnam. President Kennedy famously asked them if they even went to the same country. 1945, Miracle Mike gets his head cut off. Mike was a yummy, juicy, 2.5-pound chicken that was going to be eaten for dinner that night by the Olson family in Colorado. Mrs. Olson, just call her Clara, was expecting her mother to join the family for dinner, and Mama liked the neck bone. Mr. Olson, just call him Lloyd, was a good son-in-law and would see to it that Clara's mom got her wish. He went to slaughter the chicken, at that point not named Mike or anything else except for dinner, positioned the axe perfectly, and swung down. Too perfectly, actually. Like all chickens running around with their heads cut off, which is kind of what I look like every Monday morning, that's exactly what Mike did. But the little guy just kept running and didn't exactly just lay down and die. I don't know if the Olsons ordered pizza that night or what they did for dinner, but they were not eating that chicken. The next morning, Lloyd checked up on her foul friend, and there was Mike, sleeping in a position that would normally be with his head under his wing. Lloyd began feeding him water and grains from an eyedropper directly into Mike's exposed neck. The story was literally unbelievable by everyone who heard it, and Mike was thought to be a hoax. That is, until Lloyd drove 250 miles to the University of Utah and showed it to scientists. Turned out, Lloyd's aim was just a little off when he swung the axe. He left most of the neck alright, but in doing so, he also left the brainstem and the ear still on its body. He also either missed the jugular or somehow a clot quickly formed and stopped the bleeding. Regardless, Miracle Mike survived for another 18 months, growing from 2.5 pounds to a full-fledged 8-pound headless chicken. I doubt seriously that there's a lot of chickens out there with a $10,000 insurance policy, but that's what Lloyd got for Miracle Mike and took him to various cities around America, charging 25 cents per person to witness this perplexing poultry. New York, Atlantic City, Los Angeles, and San Diego. Folks came in droves to see the Wonder Chicken. But then in Arizona at a hotel on March 17, 1947, the poor fella started choking. Lloyd couldn't find the eyedropper to clear out his esophagus in time. Mike died that night, but his spirit lives on in Colorado. Every year, during the third weekend of May, in Fruta, Colorado, Mike's festival begins where you can see a 300-pound, 5-foot-tall statue of the little fella. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for September 10th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For example, what about Old Hickory there and zeroing out the bank? Imagine if a U.S. president tried that today. Yeah, I didn't think so either. Too big to fail, right? We'll talk about that another day. What about Miracle Mike? So that's what it must be like running around like a chicken with your head cut off. I always wondered about that saying. So yeah, let me know what you think. You can also take a gander at some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. Good luck on those. And now on to tomorrow's program. Well, it's September 11th, so I'll talk about 2001 and 2012. And it won't be pretty. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.